Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another edition of the Screaming Reels program on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548. You're listening to Ariel Mangli, and we're trying to see if we can get hold of Mulana Sajjad Timur, who I suspect is somewhere fishing. I'm sure if we get hold of him a little later on, probably if the signal is not so good in the area that he's in. But definitely a good lineup for you today, inshallah. Somebody who we haven't spoken to for a very, very long time. And I'm sure he'll be telling us what he's been up to in the time that we haven't been speaking to him, is Brother Luqman Mia from Solis Angler's Corner. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Ali?
Alhamdulillah, Luqman.
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners as well.
Look, 2 weeks have gone by and we didn't hear your Mubarak voice. Please tell me that there's some interesting fishing story that is behind it all.
What's a Mubarak story, voice? Our voice is like rough. There's no Mubarak to this voice.
Don't blush on radio. Nobody can see you turning red.
We've been, so, I myself unfortunately didn't get to do much fishing, but plenty of people have been fishing, so the fishing reports are good all round. You know, people have been catching decent fish, whether it's fresh or salt water.
Tell me this, obviously in the last few weekends that have gone by, I mean, a lot of people have been going fishing. Excellent stuff. Luqman, before we go on to our product review for today, what sort of reports have you been getting from clients, basically running from South African inland waters to coastal waters and to over the border?
Like I mentioned, you know, as far as your carps, your yellowfish, mudfish, power, you know, we had a guy that was in here yesterday and he lives on the Vaal River and he's been catching some really, really big power at the moment. So it seems like this is, they're biting very well. Carps you're getting on the Vaal Dam itself, guys are catching, but like I said, not really big ones. It's more smallish fish, kerfa, like are on the go, you know, in any piece of water that's got kerfa, guys are catching. But again, like we said, there's just one or two dams where the guys are really catching big ones. Bass is a bit of, it's slow at the moment, you know, guys are battling to get good fish. It's lots of small fish, and this again is where small bass thrive, because you got lots of small kerpa, lots of small carp, barber around, which the bass feed on. So they also, the small bass are really doing well. And then you got cross-border, the Nilotica's bream or kerpa, as we know it, or Nilo, it's commonly known as a Nilo. In Kariba, you know, guys have really been catching well. So if you want to go to Kariba and have some good fun, that's a species to target. Tiger fishing has been slow, you know, we haven't had any good reports at the moment. And then offshore, we had bad weather, guys weren't getting too many fish recently offshore, so I think the weather, just, you know, there were high winds, there were those cyclones that move in, and it seems like it hasn't really settled down.
Obviously with the holidays, holiday season, you get a lot of people going outdoors, going out for fishing, etc. And, I think we always mention, obviously, on the program, in terms of etiquette when you go into the waters and how one should behave. But I think it's a good sign, like you say, if, particularly in the coastal areas, if there's some big fish around, you know, guys that are going for holiday, they can maybe target some of the bigger species as well.
Well, you can. You know, around April, I think a lot of the people do go to the Durban area, north coast or south coast. So it is like he did, you know, maybe steal a couple hours early in the morning or late evening and try and get some fishing in. You can, inshallah, you can be lucky and get and land some big fish.
What sort of fish can one target on the coastal areas around about this time of the year?
Well, from what he said, you know, a lot of the locals were catching blacktail, which is worth normal bait. That would be what sardine or choka or maybe pieces or prawn, you know. what your artificial lures you can target, like you got bitten off by a shed and you saw a few shed swimming in the waves. So you can target shed, which can be done again with bait or artificial lures. You got your metal spoons or you got bucktail jigs or like he tried with those soft plastics. And then carrick you can get at this time of the year, and you'll get like you got reefed by a GT or kingfish. So those are the species to look out for.
It's actually a good thing to hear that on the Natal coast that you know there's some kingfish coming up. I think last weekend one of my friends sent a picture from South Coast. I think extreme South Coast now, like Amzinto area. I mean, in comparison to where the Durban coastline is, the city itself. And somebody had posted, sent him a picture of a good day's fishing, you know, and it was all kingfish. There was about five of them, and fairly decent sizes, I think about a kilo, you know, just more than a kilo. Obviously, these fish grow much bigger than that, but usually when people talk about the Natal coast, you don't really hear many guys talking about the kingfish coming up. So that was quite interesting to hear. And now, obviously, you're talking about Sully getting reefed by a huge, what could have been a kingfish. It shows promise for guys targeting the species. But now you're talking about soft plastic and you're talking about these artificial lures and stuff. Somebody going out to the coast, I know for one, when I go fishing on the coast and I'm using sardine bait and stuff like that, and I come back home, you know, at about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock to get the breakfast, I gotta have to go through like a full whistle session and wash myself off about seven times, and then before I can come here, my wife. In terms of these artificial lures and stuff like that, obviously they're effective if you know what to do with them, but definitely something that's interesting for someone to try out, particularly if they're not too fond of the sardine smell.
Yeah, it's put it this way, it's a lot the cleaner way of fishing, you know, like you say, you're on holiday, even if you're going to visit, you know, a couple of aunties or uncles in Durban, you don't want to rock up there smelling like a sardine. So I think when you're on holiday, and especially if you've got family down there that you're going to visit, and it'd probably be a safest bet to fish with artificial bait. And not just off the coast, you know, we had guys that went into the harbour as well. There's one or two local German guys, fishermen, that operate charters, and they specialize in artificial lure fishing. So even in the harbour itself, you take almost like your bass rod, you know, 7 or 8 foot rod, a light spinning tackle, and throwing the same, those small metal spoons or bucktail jigs, or those jerk sheds or pedal tails. And he had great fun. I mean, he caught lovely fish. So it can be done all round. It's not just spinning off the surf. You can do it in the harbor as well.
In terms of any products, you know, that you guys are carrying at the moment in the shop, something that's doing particularly well, you know, whether it's for the surf or whether it's for the local dam and river fishermen, what sort of surprises do you guys have?
No surprises at the moment. You know, it's just the standard run of the mill stuff that guys use this time of the year. Seems to be still selling consistently well. Inshallah, we've got a new range of bass stuff coming through in the next week or two. So inshallah, when that arrives, we'll speak more about it. It's a unique top water bait that has been doing well, especially in the States. So inshallah, we've secured the agency for that to come to, and when it do come to, I'll have more information on it, and maybe we can talk about more about it when the lures do come in about 2 or 3 weeks time, inshallah.
Inshallah. Look, one final quote for the day.
Fish hard, that's all you can do. Fish hard. And fish with a sharp hook.
And visit Solid Angler's Corner.
That's always, inshallah, whoever needs any tackle, we always here to assist them with good prices, good advice, and guiding them from start to finish, inshallah.
Inshallah. Luqman, Mia, Jazakallah so much for those, you know, very, very valuable points regarding fishing, and obviously the reports that you have given us. We'll chat to you next weekend, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Luqman Mia from Solis Angler's Corner. If you just tuned in, we were busy talking about, you know, fishing on the coast and what sort of species you can target at the moment. Particularly the soft plastic baits, something that the traditional fishermen, if you want to call them that, don't really like to delve into because, you know, once you've caught fish in a particular way, you like to stick to that. But then you get those ones that are daring and they try out new things and it usually pays off, by that, inshallah. We're going to go for a quick ad break, inshallah. When we come back, we're going to have a brain of the day. So let's hear what the listeners have to say, inshallah. And still trying to get hold of Maulana Sajjad. I wonder where he is. And we can't really get hold of him because obviously there's a problem with the signal. Something that we haven't done in a very, very long time is obviously listen to the listeners' voices. So I thought, okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give out a Brain of the Day question. Now, remember, Brain of the Day, you don't really win anything, but you do have the title, and you can walk around telling everybody in the area that you come from that, hey, I won the Brain of the Day today on the Screaming Reels program. Whilst looking, obviously, for a good question to ask our listeners, I have come across some very interesting fishy facts, on one of these websites. For example, it says, did you know a fish does not add new scales as it grows, but the scales it has increases in size? And in this way, growth rings are formed, and the rings reveal the age of the fish. So if you ever want to know how old the fish is that you caught, you could basically look very, very, very carefully at one of the scales and count the rings on the scale, and that would tell you exactly how old the fish is. Interesting stuff. So the Brain of the Day question is, which species of fish have eyelids? Which species of fish have eyelids? Let's see if you can get that one. We are still just trying to get hold of Mohammed Patel, who normally comes on and does our program on boating. Last week, obviously, we had him on, and some very, very interesting things were spoken about, particularly with regards to care of your boat and care of the trailers as well. But we are heading into, the colder months, and fishing also will be taking a completely different change. We didn't really experience that much of summer, what were the rains coming late and the water being so low at one stage and then now being so high. And if you were with us earlier on, you would have heard Luqman talking about the benefits of having that type of water come in. If you've just joined us, obviously, we've asked the Brain of the Day question. I want to know which fish have eyelids. What we were talking about earlier on was obviously the water levels being a little bit higher. And the fact that when the water levels are higher, a lot of feed comes into the water. And, a lot of oxygen as well comes into the water. And this causes, good conditions for fishing. And obviously, we also spoke about the holiday coming up, and many people will be going obviously to the coast or maybe just to the local dams or the rivers, etc., to do some fishing. One very important thing that we need to realize when we go out, and we observe nature is obviously number one is to understand what is our objective of going out. And obviously, if we correct our intention and, we can make it can make such a difference on our journey or on our holiday that we're going for. And one of the things that we could do is we could say that I'm going out to experience the awe and the beauty of nature and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And if we can do that, then we will really, really appreciate the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in terms of nature. And it's very, very interesting because we find that many times we are caught up in life, we're just sitting at home. Our lives are so monotonous. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come back, and, you repeat the cycle. And these are times where when you have an opportunity to take a break and you can go out and experience nature, it really improves your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you can recognize you know, that this creation is, this beauty in this creation has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure when you go out that you correct your intention, obviously, you know, and so that your time that you spend wherever it is not wasted, and it's something that is, you know, valuable. Obviously, we all like to go out. We all love to go fishing. You know, many a times we go out, and sometimes they say you got two options when you go fishing. It's either you are fishing or you are catching. You know, so if you go out to catch, you don't always enjoy yourself, because if you don't catch, then you have a problem. You come back all gloomy. But if you go out and you go fishing and you go to, like I say, enjoy the nature, you know, experience the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, then definitely you will enjoy yourself, you will experience the greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, or the awe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, so that you can enjoy yourself a little bit better. I'm still waiting for Ziad to tell me if anybody's calling, but I don't see anyone calling. Again, the brain of the day question is, which fish have eyelids? Which fish have eyelids? Quickly, just going to go offline just to give the number to Ziad for Mohammed Patel so we can get him online. But in the meantime, have eyelids. That's the brain of the day question, where you don't win anything, but you do win the title of brain of the day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Screaming Reels program. I was just going to say that we threw out the lines and we didn't get any bites, but Ziad's telling me we've got a caller online, you know, who's going to attempt the brain of the day question. The question, of course, was, which fish have eyelids? Which fish have eyelids? Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam.
Abba, you have an answer for us?
Yes, I think it's sharks.
Sharks. That's 100% correct, mashallah. Congratulations. Unfortunately, you don't win a prize,
no,
but you do
no
have
problem.
The title. You have the title for Brain of the Day, so make sure you tell your husband, your children, and everybody else in the family, you know, today I won the Brain of the Day, and well-deserved. Yes, sharks are the only fish that actually have eyelids. Most fish don't have eyelids. They've got a very, very thick covering over their eyes to protect their eyes whilst underwater. Jazakallah so much for that. I think we lost the caller. So happy to be brain of the day that she dropped the call. I think we've got Mohammed Patel also on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mohammed, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, Adil, to you and all the Radio Islam listeners.
I hope we didn't wake you up.
No. I'm long time awake. Long time awake. Just getting things sorted out for the day.
Alhamdulillah. Mohammed, just last week we were doing safety in terms of checks that you can do on the boat. You know, before you're going onto the waters, obviously very, very valuable information coming through from you. I think we could also say that Mohammed Patel is sort of like a BS expert, if you want to call him that. And dealing with boats, you know, so often and having opportunities to go out on the water so much, or maybe not so much, because you find yourself every weekend fixing boats, etc. But obviously, you have quite a bit of information to share in terms of bass fishing. I'm looking at the sonarguys.co.za, that's your website, and I'm checking this latest pumped ride, which is a bass boat, you know, and gets me thinking that, you know, what sort of boats are available? Are there different kinds of boats? Obviously, we do see lots of different styles, etc. In South Africa, what sort of your most common boats that people would buy?
There are a few, Adil. Look, a lot of people that basically dedicated to doing only bass fishing, they would buy a regular bass boat. And that also, there's quite a variety of locally built boats in South Africa. We have one from SK Boating, which is your Crackleback series. He does a Crackleback 600. It's quite a large boat. I think it's like 19 foot or something like that. And then he's got the 570, slightly small. I think it's about 17 foot odd. You get a small one as well. And then you get the guy in Polokwane. I think it's Berlin Bass Boats. They also do nice bass boats. There's a couple of other guys you know, in and around that do some good bass boats. And then you get your pleasure boats, you know, your skiing, tubing, family type boats.
What I noticed, especially among you know, Indian community, a lot of people don't actually like fishing or like buying bass boats. So, you know, that's where we come in, they'll buy a pleasure boat, and they'll tell us, look, we want to use this boat as what we call a hybrid, you know, something you can use for fishing as well as skiing and tubing. You know, so what we do is we have them modified, where we do special molding and stuff on the boat to accommodate for a trolling motor in front, and you know, we have something with a removable deck. Normally these pleasure type boats have like seating arrangements in front. Some people want to change that seating arrangement because majority of the time that seating arrangement can only be used by you know, smaller kids or really smaller adults. If you're having a you know, a big guy that want to sit up front, he's probably going to be the only guy sitting up front. And also depending on your size of pleasure boat, but the average pleasure boat would be around 5 meters, you know, 5.5 meters. And then if you go to the larger boats, you get boats up to about six meters, 7 meters, where the front section is much bigger. But that's like a different scenario. Those are dedicated pleasure boats, like you get the Mastercraft boats, where they're actually made to use these wakeboards, you know, to make wakes in the water. They're designed in such a way that they make massive wakes at the back while you're riding the boat. So, you know, the knee boarder or wakeboarder or even the guy that's skiing, you know, he's got enough wave at the back of him without having you know, trouble wakeboarding or knee boarding, if you want to call it like that. Those type of boats, okay, we haven't worked on any of those Mastercraft boats in terms of converting them. But you get the standard 5 meter, there's quite a few on the market, like the Sensation boats. Then you get the old Carrera boats. Then you got a boat, I think it's called the Bass Streaker. It's quite an old boat. I think it was done through a company called Camping and Boating in Benoni. They've started to make something like a hybrid. You know, it was just like a semi bass boat type thing as well. But they stopped doing it due to the demand of the bass boat. And now we found, we're seeing that the hybrid boats are coming back, where, you know, you'll have one weekend where the family says, look, we want to go out, you know, with you fishing. And, you know, the bass boat, as most people know, it's a two-seater, maximum three-seater, depending on what type of seating arrangement they have in or they've designed the boat with. But majority of the time it's just two-seater. It's a tournament type fishing boat. We get bass boats where guys go four out on the bass boat, but you have a guy sitting like next to the console or on top of the cooler box in the middle, or you know, but it wasn't designed for you know, taking more than two, maximum three people. Yeah, the seating arrangement is completely different.
I'm looking at the bass boat itself. I mean, you know, just going a little bit into that, you're saying it's a two-seater. The one I'm looking at now at the moment that's flashing on your website is a two-seater, and it's basically got sort of like a platform right around the boat.
Correct.
And then it looks like there's a lot of compartments in there. Can you take us through the platform and the compartments quickly, just so we can get an idea of what it is?
The reasoning behind a bass boat and why so many people want bass boats is because when you go out with a pleasure boat, I'll get to the compartments in the layout, but I'll tell you the reasoning behind, you know, the hybrid boat versus the pure bass boat. We have fishermen that come, they buy a pleasure boat and then they have trolling motors fitted, and you know, maybe we will pull them alive well and a, you know, a special built-in cooler box, and we'll change the design here and there, and you know, you get guys that are happy with that. Where the only reason behind a proper bass boat is majority of bass fishermen, you know, they want the aches and pains of having to continuously pack and unpack a boat. It becomes it's quite a bit of a task, you know, the night before, especially if you're busy at work and during the week, trying to get your boat packed and sorted and whatever. It's a hell of a task. So what happens on a bass boat is we have, for example, majority of the bass boats have minimum one, average is two rod lockers, right? So you have rod lockers that accommodate right up to 7'6", even 8 foot rods. So your rods stay in the rod lockers, and then you have your tackle compartments. There's quite a few compartments. Some boats have two tackle compartments on the front deck, front section of the boat. That's the section basically in front of your cockpit area. And then in the rear area, normally towards the center of the boat, you'll have two live well compartments. And on the side of that, right-hand side and left-hand side of that, you'll have some more tackle hatches. So what majority of the guys do is your rod lockers, you have your variety of rods right and left. So if you're fishing a partnership and you guys always like a tournament fisherman, you know, you basically choose a locker. So, you know, for example, if my locker was a left-hand side locker, you know, I always keep my rods in the left-hand side locker, and I'll have a variety of rods. Now, when you talk about the variety of rods, we carry, like myself, I carry up to like 15 different bass rods in my locker. For different scenarios, different baits, different lines, different rod strengths, different rod weights, and that'll all play out at the end of the day, you know, for different situations on the water. Now, take that for an example. Where do you put your rods on a pleasure boat? You know, there's absolutely no space, so you've got to leave it hanging on the seat or laying in the gangway between the two consoles, or, you know, in a very unsafe place where you find some of these rods going to thousands of rand, and then in an emergency situation, you hit a big wave or wake in the water, or you have to swirl you like in an emergency, you'll have your rods overboard. Some guys try and make like homemade bungees or straps, something of that sort, just to, you know, keep the rod secure.
But again,
you know, it's having to pack and unpack the boat every time. And then you look at the center compartment, for example, the two center compartments up front. Some guys would have a really big compartment up front in the center where they have these plano boxes, these plastic plano boxes. Basically, they're like tackle organizers. You can have a hook box, for example, with different sizes of hooks, a weight box with different weights, different types of weights, and then you'll have the plano boxes, obviously, with the different types of baits, you know, either plastic baits or hard baits, crank baits or whatever, that they store, organize and prep like in an order. So when you're fishing and you're looking for example like a fluke plastic bait, you have a dedicated box for fluke, so you pull out the fluke baits. Now having a pleasure boat, you've got to have either a tackle bag that you're carrying with you all the time, and
everything's everywhere.
It's really a toil trying to get some sort of organization, you know, on your boat. And the biggest advantage of having a bass boat, you have your raincoat that stays in the boat, you have your jacket that stays in the boat, all your gear that stays in the boat, from tackle to everything. And even we have, you know, your drinks that stay in the boat, because we have cooler boxes, like we build cooler boxes as well for different types of boats where we have like drainage plugs and whatever. So you go out for the day, and you fill ice in the cooler box, and at the end of the day, you know, the ice is melted, so you just got water in there. And then you open up the drain plug, drain all the water out, your drinks stay in there. Sometimes it's always advisable to rinse the cooler box out just to keep it from a cleanliness point of view. Rinse the cooler box out, maybe pack fresh drinks and keep it in for the next trip. But everything stays in the boat. So the only thing you have to basically do, you know, when you get home, put your batteries on charge. With that as well, you know, we do the charges, basically onboard charges, where you just have one single plug coming out, and you have a permanent extension cord that lays in your garage or wherever you're parking your boat. You get home, one plug, and that's it. You forget about your boat, cover it up till the next trip. You know, the next trip you go out, all you need is take your food packet in there and finish, unless you want to like re-rig your rods or whatever. But it doesn't become a real pain
you know, as compared to the pleasure boats. Now the pleasure boats, you've got to pack in and out, you know, there's no storage space for your tackle and stuff like that, because the storage space on a lot of these pleasure boats are quite limited in terms of rod space. There's no rod space, and then if you're mobile and you have a tackle bag with flannel boxes and things like that, where do you put it? So you shove it under the console, or you know, in the middle of nowhere on the boat. So that's the biggest difference why people start off, for example, on a pleasure boat, and then they take a liking to bass fishing or whatever type of fishing that requires a boat like that. They then change their mind and say, look, I've had enough of this. My family doesn't want to go with me fishing anymore, or whatever the case is. You know, I prefer having a full-on fishing boat because of the convenience.
Morgan, you know, I'm just looking at the time, and it looks like we are really seriously running out of time, and there's about 1,500 questions that I have looking at this, because I'm amazed. I'm looking, and if you guys, if any of the listeners wanna check out the website, just to see the kind of work Mohammed Patel and his guys do, you can check out www.thesonarguys.com and it's .co.za, the Sona guys. But you can even go to Google and just Google it there, and you'll get it. Mohammed, definitely next week, inshallah, more on bass boats. You know, one of the things in particular that I'm looking at is obviously the strength of the platform itself. But we'll have to leave that for next week, unfortunately. But Jazakallah so much. Obviously, very, very valuable information. We'll catch up with you next week, inshallah.
Always a pleasure, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Mohammed Patel, and we went into some really, really interesting stuff in terms of bass boats and why people buy bass boats. And if you really look at the way things are compartmentalized, is the easy word like that, but it's excellent. I mean, it's the perfect sort of fishing boat for somebody that's now really seriously going into fishing. You were listening to the Screaming Reels program. Time now is 9 o'clock, spot on, and that brings us to the end of the program, inshallah. We'll catch up with you next weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our wonderful listeners.